Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Federal Prison Guards and Tort Claims Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 27, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Millbrook v. United States. The question in this case was whether a proviso in the Federal Tort Claims Act that permits suits against the federal government for assaults committed by federal law enforcement officers acting within the scope of their employment applies in a case where a federal prisoner was allegedly raped by prison guards. In an opinion delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held unanimously that the proviso permitting suits extends to acts or omissions of law enforcement officers that arise within the scope of their employment, regardless of whether the officers are engaged in investigative or law enforcement activity, or are executing a search, seizing evidence, or making an arrest. Because the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit had taken a more limited view of the proviso's scope, the Supreme Court reversed the Third Circuit's judgment and remanded the case for further proceedings. To discuss the case, we have Andrew Spiropoulos, a professor of law and director at the Center for the Study of State Constitutional Law and Government at Oklahoma City University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Spiropoulos.
I'm going to discuss the case of Millbrook versus the United States, which was decided on March 27th, 2013, a little over a month after it was argued in front of the court, but which should give everyone some sense of how straightforward the court had seen the case. The unanimous opinion written by Justice Thomas, this case involved a claim under the Federal Tort Claims Act, in which a federal prisoner accused several of the officers at the prison of committing sexual assault against him. The claim dealt with a section of the Federal Tort Claims Act which provides that there are several intentional torts that the government's sovereign immunity is not waived for. But there is a proviso in the Act that if a law enforcement officer, or investigative or law enforcement officer, in fact, committed six of these intentional torts, including assault, then the sovereign immunity is not waived, and therefore the law enforcement officer can be sued. And of course, the prisoner is arguing that the proviso applied in his case, that the prison officers were in fact covered by the exception for investigative or law enforcement officers. So the question in this case is whether or not the prison guards in this case were in fact an investigative or law enforcement officer. The statute defines such officers as any officer who is empowered to execute searches, seize evidence, or make arrests for violations of federal law. Now, there was no doubt in the case that the prison guards did in fact have this power. The question is whether the fact that they were not doing this in this case, they were not seizing evidence or executing searches or making arrests, they were simply working in the prison system and allegedly assaulting the prisoner, the fact that they weren't engaged in this activity was sufficient to exclude them from the proviso. So this was a classic case of what seemed to be a fairly clear text against bad policy consequences that Congress may or may not have intended. The statute was enforced according to its clear terms. The oral argument really did bring up a lot of the policy problems. There would be a fairly wide range of liability, and there would be lots more prisoner suits, for example, than perhaps Congress ever would have wanted. So it was really going to be one of the interesting cases to see whether or not the court would really, in fact, particularly those on the court like Justice Scalia, profess to be textualists, really would be textualists in this case where you have bad policy consequences. It seems relatively clear that the court here is very serious, at least in this case, about textualism. They unanimously held that despite any policy consequences, that the text is clear and that they really had no choice but to enforce the language. In fact, the court, citing another case, said, when the statutory language is plain, we must enforce it according to its terms, and they really had no choice in this case because the statute was clear that it really is the status of the officer, the power that they have, not what they're doing in the particular case. Because an officer, this text said here, was empowered to execute searches, seize evidence, or make arrests, and there were no other qualifications in addition to that status, then unlike what several of the circuit courts had done, it is not possible to put any limiting language in there. You cannot say that they had to be engaged in investigative law enforcement activity at the time, whether that'd be a good idea or not, because Congress had the opportunity to do that, and they chose not to. So if the Congress wishes to limit the statute in order to try to forestall some of these prisoner suits, it's going to have to do it itself. The court is not going to do it for them because the court, and at least in this case, is very serious about textualism and is going to enforce the statute according to its terms. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.